will hold that position until we're able to select a new chancellor, which hopefully will be in the fall sometime, and before the end of the year anyway.
Hey, Jay, any comments about assuming the post?
I look forward to working with the team, and you know, main mission here is to maintain our administrative processes so we can keep things going as the board conducts their search for the new chancellor.
I might add that Mr. Kimbrough has been in that position previously, and he's just reassuming that position. He left that position a while back to do some interim work on several agencies and several other positions over here in Austin, and he's come back now to resume that position. We're glad to have him back.
Okay, I'm going to open the floor for questions. Please identify yourself before asking a question and who you would like to address the question to. So the floor is now open.
Sure. This is Ralph Horowitz with the American Statesman. Congratulations on your appointment, Mr. Kimbrough. I wonder if you might tell us a little bit about what your take is on sort of the issue du jour, the governance and direction of higher education in Texas, the so-called breakthrough solutions that have been controversial, and so forth.
Well, I think communications is the key word, and there needs to be an open dialogue where everybody, you know, can talk and come up with ideas. And, you know, going forward, undoubtedly there'll be some ideas as to how it can be enhanced as time moves on. I don't think there's any magic to any particular agenda. The key is communications and working it out.
This is Bill Oliver, WTAW. First, for Chairman Box, and if Mr. Kimbrough would respond afterwards, I'm interested in the selection process. Mr. Chairman, what was involved there, and Mr. Kimbrough, then if you could talk about when you were approached about assuming.
The selection process, Mr. Kimbrough, is that your specific question?
Yes, yeah, the selection process and then the acceptance side.
Well,
of it.
We normally go through, we just went through the normal procedure of going through an executive session. We opened, convened the meeting this morning. All regents were present, including the student region. We went into executive session and had a very long, meaningful dialogue about those things that we talk about in executive session, which I can't get into detail on, unfortunately, about. And we had a lot of questions and went through a lot of questions and answers. And once we had done that, then we came back into general session and nominated and selected Mr. Kimbrough for basically the deputy chairmanship to begin with, and then the second item was the interim, chancellorship, I'm sorry, my correction, and then the interim chancellor position.
Was Mr. Kimbrough the only candidate considered?
Yes, he was, and the reason being Mr. Kimbrough had been promised this position when he left to take other state positions. And so this was basically fulfilling a promise, earlier promise to Mr. Kimbrough and to others that this would be something that we would do in the near future. Circumstances were such that we would need an interim anyway, and with Chancellor McKinney leaving, and so this was an opportune time to do that.
Well, this is Jeannie Kiever with the Chronicle for Mr. Kimbrough. Excuse me. I'm wondering if you've talked with any faculty members about some of the hot topics of the spring and summer, the red and black report, the student evaluation awards.
No, I haven't. I look forward to that discussion, and I've talked to Dr. Ashley about meeting with the distinguished professors and others to get their input on the very issue, but I have not yet done that.
Hi, this is Katie Mangan at the Chronicle of Higher Education. I have a question for Mr. Kimbrough. Some people have raised questions about the extent of the governor's involvement in Regents matters across the state, and I guess the fact that you also, like Mr. McCain, were a former chief of staff. How would you respond to questions that people ask about whether the governor is having too much influence in the matters of the boards of Texas A&M and UT, and did the governor have anything to do with your becoming the interim chancellor?
As a brief comment, I'd say that's an exaggeration. And you can see from other stories that are out right now, and you can check with members in the Texas legislature. I have worked with both sides of the aisle for years, and there's no micromanaging of this university, and there's no micromanaging of me by Rick Perry. And, you know, part of my job is to try to serve and assist where I can, and I volunteer to do that quite frequently.
Thank you.
This is Reeve Hamilton at the Texas Tribune. I just had a quick question for Mr. Kimbrough. Mr. Kimbrough, you're sort of known for going into troubled agencies and turning them around. And do you see any opportunities at A&M to do any sort of that work?
I don't see any crisis here at all. This is not like those other missions that you described. This is to maintain the administrative processes and so we can have a chain of command and structure while the board is conducting their search. But there is certainly no crisis at this university system or in any higher ed system that in this state.
Thanks.
No, Mr. Kimbrough, this is Ralph Horowitz. Just to follow up on that for a moment, I would, with all due respect, I would note that the AAU, the Association of American Universities, rebuked Dr. McKinney about some of the breakthrough solution implementation that was underway. And in addition, the legislature has established a special joint oversight committee, which is, though perhaps not unprecedented, quite unusual. So clearly some people think some things are awry. Could you address those 2 points?
I do think some people think that, and a lot of it is just based on what they read and what they hear. That's why I think communications is so important. I'm glad to hear about the committee in the legislature. As you probably know, I've worked with Senator Zaffarini throughout the years. I was in Beeville when she was first elected, and I look forward to working with them and talking with them. I think the solution here is to have these issues vetted. And everybody agrees on efficiency and transparency and accountability and enhancing as we move down the road. And I know the legislature feels the same way and all the leaders do.
Thank you.
Vimal Patel here from the Eagle. Dr. Box, you mentioned earlier that the position of deputy chancellor was promised to Jay Kimbrough. Who made that promise and when?
Well, I think that promise was made before I was on the board, but it was a regential promise and a promise from the chancellor at the time. And I maybe that question should be focused on Mr. Kimbrough if he cares to answer it, but that was widely known in Regent circles and in the system.
Mr. Chairman, Bill Oliver again at WTAW. There was not a deputy chancellor during Dr. McKinney's administration. Why bring that back now?
Yes, there was.
Oh,
I was his deputy chancellor. That's exactly what Dr. Box was talking about.
Oh, my mistake. Thank you.
Yes, sir. I was deputy chancellor and general counsel and then went over to Austin for a 9 or 10 month tour. And when I went over there, the thought and the goal was is that I would come back to the same position. In the meantime, they filled the general counsel role because there were so many things going on so fast. And with respect to the deputy chancellor, the board, it existed in the summer of 2009, had a different model and a different plan. And so I served as special advisor to them, which frankly was not too dissimilar in that I was involved in many key projects and helping move the ball along. It was a different title and a different chain of command. And all accuracy, it was very similar to what the deputy chancellor role is.
Thank you for the clarification.
This is Liz with ABC 40. And I have a question for Dr. Fox, just about why Kimbrough is not a candidate for a long-term position.
I think that's his choice. Mr. Kimbrough may want to answer that if he chooses to do that, but that was what he told me and several other regents, and I believe that's what he's told previous communiques to the press.
Yes, sir. That's it. And, you know, I'll be 64 years old in September, and I don't want to make a pledge or commitment for a long haul that the chancellor spot, I believe, requires. And I think that I can assist best at the operator level, and that's where I believe I can best serve.
Okay.
I think we have time for two more quick questions before Dr. Box has to get back to his work.
Dr. Box, this is, Jeannie Keever again. I'm in the search that's going on, I'm wondering if you've identified any candidates and also how important, if at all, you think academic qualifications and background are for a new chancellor.
Well, let me answer that. First, your question was about the candidates, and basically, former chairman Morris Foster and his sub-operating group are involved in that process, and I haven't tried to get in the inside of what they're doing. They will be reporting, I think, pretty quickly to the board of where they are in that as to what numbers of applicants they have. I'm sorry, I don't have any numbers. The detail, I really don't have. That's something that they will be reporting to the board, and they have yet to do that. So I think the last day for applicants may be today. So once that's done and gotten passed, then I would expect to hear from them in the near future.
Vimal here from the Eagle. So Jay Kimbrough, if he's not special advisor to the Board of Regents anymore, do you guys plan on filling that post?
Well, there could be a possibility that Jay would fill both, maybe without the title, but could possibly be dual-hatted in that role. We haven't got to that position yet, but since he previously described what his role was in special advisor, which was just about the same thing as what his deputy role will be, well, then there may not be a need to name a special advisor in that role.